Picture a woman standing in her kitchen at 3 a.m., unable to sleep because her mental to-do list won't stop spinning. She's successful, educated, ambitious, yet drowning in an impossible equation: full-time career plus full-time home management plus perfect motherhood. Sound familiar? This isn't a personal failure. It's a systemic trap that catches millions of professional women. Despite comprising half the workforce, women still shoulder 76% of household responsibilities, creating an exhausting double shift that limits career advancement and threatens health. The contradiction is stark. We've democratized boardrooms, but not living rooms. We've shattered glass ceilings, while kitchen floors remain firmly gendered territory. This burden isn't just unfair, it's unsustainable, manifesting in higher cortisol levels, increased rates of anxiety and cardiovascular problems, and careers that plateau precisely when family demands peak. The promise that you can have it all if you do it all turns out to be a cruel lie. But what if the solution isn't working harder or sleeping less? What if it's fundamentally reimagining partnership itself? Learning to drop the ball without guilt, delegate without micromanaging, and redefine what truly matters. From age 16, the training began. When parents divorced, suddenly there was a woman of the house to become, cooking, coordinating, managing a household while maintaining perfect grades. These skills felt like empowerment, but carried hidden messages. Women serve, women manage invisible labor, women make everything run smoothly. Even barrier-breaking mothers, like the anesthesiologist juggling two full-time jobs while making it look so easy, inadvertently taught their butlers that superhuman domestic performance was simply what women did. Cultural reinforcement was everywhere. Fred Flintstone coming home to dinner on the table, Disney princesses managing castle households. Media consistently portrayed powerful career women as cold and disconnected, their personal lives in shambles. The implicit warning that professional success meant domestic failure. Yet watching a mother become financially vulnerable after divorce created fierce determination. Financial independence was non-negotiable. 8 years into marriage, 6 months after the first baby, the dream job arrived, directing fundraising for a women's leadership organization. The plan was simple: excel at career, support husband's ambitions, raise the child beautifully, maintain a perfect home. Within 6 hours, the illusion shattered. Painfully engorged breasts leaked milk through a designer suit jacket during an important meeting. The first day ended kneeling on a bathroom floor, crying while emptying breast milk into a toilet. This is the dilemma millions face. Just as women reach management positions, biology and family demands collide with professional ambition. Society expects extreme dedication to both career and children, selling the fantasy that you can have it all by doing it all. Then came the crystallizing moment: a husband's job offer requiring relocation. Despite promising career opportunities in the current city, the choice felt predetermined. For the first time in 11 years together, parenthood's unequal impact became undeniable. It felt like running a relay race where suddenly only one lane had hurdles, and those hurdles appeared exclusively for the woman. Most modern women reject traditional gender roles, yet compulsively control household details: the specific detergent brand, exact folding methods, homemade mac and cheese, because boxed versions signal maternal failure. This home control disease manifests in packing partners' bags with typed instructions and maintaining unnecessary logs of children's routines. This stems from childhood conditioning. Girls receive baby dolls teaching caregiving, while boys' toys encourage problem solving. The underlying fear: failing at home means failing as a woman. This creates the Lone Ranger syndrome. At work, it's faith in false meritocracy. At home, belief in false efficiency. We can do it better ourselves. When overwhelmed, delegating feels like more work, so we soldier through, trapped on a life go-round, spinning constantly but never moving forward. By late 2007, the facade was crumbling, outwardly projecting superwoman, internally falling apart, losing weight, chronically exhausted. Research shows 32% of women believe they wouldn't properly care for homes if they did less. The health consequences? Higher cortisol levels, increased allergies, migraines, anxiety, and cardiovascular problems. The explosion came one evening, arriving home to find the son crying while the nanny cleaned his nose and the husband watching basketball, unbothered. His casual "what's for dinner" triggered volcanic rage, screaming, "You tell me," for the first time, storming off devastated. Then, January 2008 shifted everything. The husband lost his job in the collapsing banking industry. As the new primary breadwinner, solo management was impossible. Two exercises provided breakthrough clarity. First, imagining funeral eulogies revealed what truly mattered. Not "she kept an immaculate home," but "she championed women and girls, and she believed in me." A son's words hit hardest. She was a good mom because she didn't confuse her journey and mine. Second, collecting stories from different life stages revealed recurring themes: passion, authenticity, determination. The most surprising memory? Defending her 11-year-old daughter who hit a neighborhood boy with a hammer after he inappropriately touched her. When his mother demanded an apology, she firmly refused, teaching her daughter to trust her instincts. That fierce girl had gotten lost under others' expectations. These exercises revealed three crucial considerations: legacy, innate gifts, and desired time allocation. Crystal clarity emerged: loving her husband, raising a conscious global citizen, and advancing women and girls. Everything else was negotiable. A couple's compass was created, four guiding questions. Will this advance women or sub-Saharan Africa? Is this true to our parents' values? Will this put us on a path to financial freedom? Will our descendants be proud? This compass became critical for working better together and leaving a legacy. Without clarity about what matters most, we can't possibly know what balls we can afford to drop. With clarity about what mattered most, loving the husband, raising conscious global citizens, advancing women and girls, the question remained how to actually let go and motivate real partnership at home. The breakthrough came from comparative advantage. Focus on where you bring the most value, not just what you're good at. This dramatically shrank the to-do list from 8 critical tasks to 1. After reflection, only 3 things absolutely had to remain: carrying and birthing children, breastfeeding for 1 year, and engaging them in meaningful conversations. Everything else became eligible for dropping. The remaining tasks fell into 3 categories: things to laugh about, tasks to creatively outsource, and tasks requiring the husband's support. For the latter, a deliberate conversation was scheduled, not demanding help with chores, but explaining what mattered most and asking for help fulfilling that purpose. This delegating with joy frames requests as helping someone live their passion. When the husband agreed to manage the mail but never completed it, a pile formed on the counter. For 4 weeks, resisting the urge to handle it was torture. When he returned after 3 months to find the mountain waiting, he took ownership. The consequences, unpaid bills, missed parties, a parking ticket, and collections, revealed something crucial. He had a threshold for disarray, just higher than the original one. A task isn't truly delegated until the other person feels responsible, which requires letting them experience natural consequences. A work meeting sparked a realization. Women who excel as managers often abandon professional practices at home. Good managers set expectations up front, but at home, we wait until partners fail to explain what we wanted. The solution was applying workplace management techniques. An Excel spreadsheet listed every household task, from vacuuming to paying bills to coordinating childcare. 3 columns: the husband's name first, deliberately, the wife's, and crucially, no one. The husband engaged immediately, claiming many responsibilities: family travel coordinator, botanist, chief technology officer, math teacher, even night nurse, revealing he'd been quietly handling nighttime wakings. The spreadsheet revealed he managed about 30% of household tasks, far more than the assumed 5%. The no one column acknowledged some things simply wouldn't get done, and that was okay. The spreadsheet transformed them into true all-in partners, 2 people working full-time while co-managing their home. The resentment had been misplaced. He wasn't an adversary, but a teammate against cultural standards demanding women do everything. Managing well was possible thanks to a village of support, a college friend who moved in, a mother-in-law who flew in for weeks, friends who helped with shopping, neighbors who organized baby clothes. Building this village requires intentional action, asking for help, and making needs known. Society expects mothers to meet full-time work demands while maintaining 1950s domestic standards. Nearly 80% of millennial mothers believe perfection is important, yet research shows maternal employment doesn't significantly affect children's outcomes. The pressure is manufactured, not necessary. A forgotten Valentine's Day assignment once would have triggered panic and late-night crafting. Instead, grabbing supplies from Staples and sending the kids to make cards themselves felt revolutionary. The next morning revealed 32 adorable cards their father helped create. Almost half of Fortune 500 women leaders have spouses playing significant domestic roles, not because these women are special, but because partnership is essential for advancement. A leaking faucet illustrated this transformation. After texting the husband to fix it while he was in Dubai, an unstylish but functional replacement appeared. The first instinct was disappointment, then realization. This was exactly why facility maintenance director was in his column. The unfashionable faucet became a daily reminder that done is another person's perfect was worth a dramatically improved quality of life. The revolution begins when we stop treating demands as non-negotiable and release control of half the things filling our time. True equality requires vulnerability, admitting we can't do it all, asking for specific help, and accepting others won't do things our way.